Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
Thirst World Problem, and we're reminiscing about our childhood. I don't even get the reference, but if it got you blocked, I mean, that's pretty...
It's because he has a bad history of his quads.
This guy's just going in on his... You got the health file or what?
You don't know the history about Kevin Nash?
Nope.
If you ask any hardcore wrestler about Kevin Nash, they'll talk about his quads because every 90% of his injuries had to do with quads. There was one match where he came back, and all this guy did was just go through the ropes, and he, like, tore his quad and shit like that. Just that's the little inside joke, so... yeah, he blocked
him,
huh?
It upsets him,
It upset him very hard, and therefore I am blocked.
Touchy subject, man. No one wants to be reminded of their flaws, thing that takes them out of doing the thing that they love.
So let's talk about what you want to talk about, your childhood here. Let's bring it back. What's your top, give me your top three wrestlers that you just always went nuts for.
See, that's the thing. Back in our day especially, everyone watched wrestling when they were a kid.
100%.
Everyone watched wrestling as their kid.
My grandma loves wrestling. Used to love it.
Right,
like, well, I don't know if adults, like, older than, you know, like, people 40, 50 years old back then love that their kids watched it. I don't think that's true.
No.
But.
Give me your top three.
Wrestlers?
Yep.
Fuck, it's tough for me, man. You guys know it's hard for me to pick out.
You gave me like eight people already just now.
No particular order.
It has
no
to be particular order.
Start at the bottom, man. Work your way up.
It's hard to say, man.
It's not hard, man.
It's really hard to say for me, I'll be honest. I'll throw a couple out there.
Just give me one to three.
Kane's one That's of my one. Favorite. I got to name more than three.
What do you want, five?
Yeah, five. Okay, I like, five. I always like Goldberg. Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think you got to like him. The Rock, one of my favorite on the mic. I was actually watching a couple things a couple weeks ago. Rock's best mic moments. The way he just has you like on a string when he's talking on the mic, just ridiculous. And it's still funny to this day. It's not even just like a joke. It holds up, right?
Just his whole, like, swagger.
His whole persona, swagger, like how he's different in different cities and stuff like that.
We got one more.
I'll throw in a Shawn Michaels or a little bit of Latino heat.
Oh, okay.
Right? I'll throw a six on in there.
All right. Who you got?
Man, I was devastated when that Eddie Guerrero shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, me and my cousins.
When the heat went out.
My cousins and I, we were... Hey, man, that's not funny. But,
that was a dope.
Yeah, no, we were.
Too soon,
bro,
this guy
we were
says.
Mourning. Like, it was bad.
He had, like, an enlarged heart or something.
No, I think it was just an overdose, man. That's why. Like, that's what it was, but the drugs brought that onset. So, and yeah, that was I remember that day. I remember I was at school and stuff. Oh, it was bad. But anyway, Bill.
Bell, who you got?
I'm going to start off with, with one out of left field here. I'm going to start off with Billy Kidman, Shooting Star Press.
Whoa. That's number one?
No, I'm starting at the bottom. Why would I start at number one? Like, who wants to hear the rest of the list?
Billy Kidman. I haven't heard that name in so long.
That Shooting Star Press, when I first saw that move, man, just was impressive.
What is that?
So it's a reverse backflip, which I guess is just a flip, where like, yeah, so your head is going over your body, right?
Remember what Lesnar did?
Yeah, your head's going over your body, and then you hit him.
Oh, okay.
He might have done the 720 or whatever it was, but that's like the crazy looking. Just visually, it's beautiful, and he did it from anywhere. Kid wasn't scared, man.
Can you say that one more time?
Billy Kidman.
Is your next one fucking Val Venus or what?
I like some of the stuff that he is doing.
We got number four.
Number four, I have Shawn Michaels. That's where I'm going to put the Heartbreak Kid.
Which era of Shawn Michaels?
Right after he kicked Jannetty through the glass in the shop there, like I like the move. I don't mind the move, the sweet chin music there, and obviously he had
what
the swag,
like? What
the theme
like?
Music, man. That theme music hits, yeah.
What What do you like when he tunes up that band or when it's out of
that's
nowhere?
That's it, yeah.
Or when
I like the tune up. I like the tune up. And then Ross coming over with a call for it, and you know it's coming. Everyone knows it's coming, and he still hits it. Come on.
No, if you know, the best is when you think it's coming, and his leg goes over, and then he fucking turns around, hits him anyway, and it's over. It's over.
Number three.
I'm going to go way back for number three and give you a Jimmy Fly Snuka. I know there's a lot of controversy around some of the stuff that he did.
Yeah, he pushed a hooker down the stairs.
All right. I didn't know that at the time.
Okay.
I didn't know that at the time, and I'm just going back.
Did you know what a hooker was?
Well, no.
Okay.
I thought it was the Jimmy Fly Snuka. And then just that, like I said, I like the airborne moves. So, like, that long.
Oh, you're all about the top rope stuff.
That's it, man. Aerial assault.
Okay.
But then I'm going to come back. So
RVD's number one for you?
No, that's the thing. Now I'm bringing it back down.
You just said aerial assault.
And I gave you three guys, man. They're all athletic and jumping around.
You don't have Rob Van Dam in there?
I don't got RVD.
Who's your number two?
Number two, he's got gold in his mouth. He's got gold around his neck. He's got gold around his waist. I got Razor Ramon. Man.
Shit, this guy's going all classics.
Man, hey.
Is there anybody new that you don't like?
Anybody new? No. I'm going way older for the last guy. Way older for the last guy. But the Razor's Edge, when he props that guy up there, then slams him down. Oh, that's such a nice looking move, man. Just a beautiful, beautiful looking move. Love that guy. Next and last but least, how can you not have the greatest of all time on there?
But least?
How could you not have the greatest of all time on there, man?
Who?
I am a real Hogan, American.
Eh? Wow.
Fight for the rights of every man. Holy.
You know how many N-bombs this guy dropped?
I got to separate the art from the artist here, man. In the ring, can't explain it, how he became one of the most popular wrestlers of all time, if not the most popular wrestler of all time.
It's charisma, man.
With a leg drop as his main move.
That was bad.
Right?
For a guy who's, like, super strong, apparently.
What the hell is that leg drop?
But, like, you didn't like Hollywood Hogan?
Oh, goddamn, I loved Hollywood Hogan.
So you can't just say Hulk Hogan. You gotta split the two.
That Voodoo Child, he's got the Jimi Hendrix theme song coming in. You've got out of nowhere, no one expects him to be the leader of the NWO. And I think that's why he's so high on this list, is because his two incarnations were pure babyface and then ultimate heel. Yeah. And obviously, everyone's like, okay, well, that's obviously the turn. That's obviously going to be the turn. But other guys have tried to do it, haven't done it as drastic as Hogan did. And the painted-on beard? Come on, man.
What do you mean? That's his real color, hair color.
That's
man.
Fucking just sick, man. I remember watching that at Bash at the Beach.
I hope you know that, right? Came out.
What's that?
That's his real hair color.
I don't... Whatever you're saying, man. Bullshit. But anyways, that's something that'll stay with me for... Till the day that I die is...
He gives you that leg drop.
That impact that wrestling has had on... like one of my childhood memories, as sad as it is to say, or as happy as it is to say. Like I said, there was an era where everyone grew up with that in boxing. Some of the craziest things is when I was younger and watching sports that I would never watch now. Like wrestling and boxing pay-per-views. I remember watching Tyson bite off Holyfield's ear, and there was just a room full of people. I'm still a kid at this point, room full of people. Everyone's going wild watching this fight, and then that happens, and everyone's stunned.
Dude, Matt, that whole...
Just everyone's stunned.
He bit his ear, man.
So, I mean, we're going way, way back. Some of our younger listeners, poor B over here, probably has no idea what we're talking about. But geez,
I know everything and more about what you're talking about.
All right, let's hear your five, Dick.
My five. Should I go from five to one or one to five?
Start at the bottom. Haven't you heard Drake?
Start at the bottom. Okay, I got Mr. Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
He was just. His those videos he did.
The videos were great.
Just when he walked, the theme song, it was just amazing. Just the way he did shit, you know? Phenomenal. Number four is gonna be I've always liked Rey Mysterio.
Oh shit.
Yeah, the aerial assault.
Just from WCW, just seeing like that the first time. just that whole luchador stuff, you're like, holy fucking, this little guy just going crazy, doing a hunacarana into a pin and shit. You went nuts every time you saw him.
Oh, man, he had a match against Ultimo Dragon. Just insane. Just insane to watch, where it's like, one of the first matches that was hard to keep track of. It was like a ping pong game.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just like, wait, what? Anyways, yeah.
So number three used to be my favorite until, like, he left. When I found out that he got the scandal for steroids, Hulk Hogan. So when I was a kid, I used to love Hulk Hogan, man. Love that guy. And then I remember my dad was like, yeah, he took steroids, but I didn't know what steroids was. And just the way my dad
said
it.
He just kept doing what you were doing.
Yeah. As soon as he was telling me what, like, he didn't tell me what it was.
Yeah, but it sounded so terrible.
But just the way he said it sounded, like, really bad. And I was like, oh, I fucking hate this guy now, right? So, number two has to be The Rock. Just
Young Rock.
He was, my favorite was when he just turned as The Rock, and he was, like, in that group, The Nation.
Oh, yeah, The Nation of Domination.
And then they battled, like, DX and, like, him and Austin for the IC title, throws it into the river and shit.
Yeah.
That shit was
Rocky.
Fucking,
Rocky.
Like,
Rocky my via.
Yeah, you couldn't beat that shit, man. Just like people's elbow, man. Just all that shit.
He was the thing about The Rock was he was all around. Like, he was the talker. He had, like, the frame of to, like, be the best in terms of how he looked and stuff. His moves were, like, they're not just, like, dumb. You know, like, Hulk Hogan, obviously, great. And his elbow drop is similar, but, like, Rock Bottom is like a hard hitting out of nowhere move. Like, he's electric, right? Like, it's The Rock was a full package.
Yeah, he was the Maven before, right?
Maven was Maven, man.
Maven was Maven.
Yeah. Do you remember that wrestler?
No.
Nick?
No.
Maven?
Obviously, I don't remember that wrestler. I'm getting him confused.
No, there was a wrestler named Maven. Like, he was in WCW and stuff.
Okay.
And WWF.
You mean,
like,
Raven?
Maven. M-A-V-E-N.
Raven was an interesting character when they brought him in. Yeah.
No, he wasn't The Rock, though. He was bald, too, though. He looked similar.
I'm being racist, B says.
Number one, Macho Man Randy Savage. Fucking love that
guy. Oh, the Macho Man.
Just the interviews, just the way this guy talked, just the fucking, just shows up in this crazy robe, just swagged out like crazy fuck.
Have you ever listened to his album?
Of course, man. Be a man. Fucking sick, man.
Surprised none of you guys have Stone Cold on your list.
I was never a big Stone Cold fan.
You don't appreciate what he did, though, for
us? I 100% appreciate it.
Like, man, he...
That was a...
He put wrestling on his shoulders, man.
Think about
that,
this, man.
In that time.
Think about this. Three guys literally battled another big company. So Austin, Rock, and Undertaker literally took on... Fucking all those guys, Goldberg, Hogan, like NWO, all these guys, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah, but, I mean, WCW were the little guys at that point. Like, they were the ones building up the NWO to get to that competition where you had the Attitude Era versus WCW. So they were all, it'd be like, they were already like the Dallas Cowboys, and then you had.
It's a bad comparison.
Bad comparison? WWE was the Dallas Cowboys for sure, man.
Three Super Bowls in the stretch of 6 years.
You mean the
49ers?
Of the 90s?
But that was back and forth. And whatever team Dion was on,
Dion
right?
Was
like
on,
that's what
whatever
it came
team
to.
Dion Sanders was on.
Any that's special
insane.
Mentions?
Special mentions?
Honorable mentions, you mean?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you... you just got banned by him. We won't mention him then.
Who?
The guy that kicked you off there, man, of
Kevin
IG.
Nash?
Yeah. Kevin Nash did a lot, like starting off as the bodyguard type character
yeah,
and
yeah.
then coming into being one of the founding members.
That's your honorable mention, Kevin Nash?
I'd like to get in. Oh. Now, okay, I'll let you guys go.
Surprised none of you guys have Triple H, man.
Give me answer.
Yes, that's the name I was looking for, man.
Triple H?
That's the name I was looking for, man.
You know, that's not even what I used to think was like his name. I used to think his name's Triple H, and I was like, yo, his real name in real life's Hunter Hearst Helmsley. But that's also like a
in his real life?
That's also
yeah.
like a...
Yeah, there's no one
I forget what his real
Hunter
name
Hearst.
Is. Man, I used to know where he was from, too. He's from Greenwich, Connecticut. I remember that. Yeah. That's what they say when he comes out, right? And I used to think his name, that's what his name was. I remember searching him up, like, yo, I'm going to search this guy up. And he comes up.
Yeah.
But that's not his... That's also a persona, right?
It's like Paul or something.
Yeah, it's Paul. Yeah.
best theme song. Best theme song.
My honorable mention is Chris Benoit.
Oh, fuck, man.
I used to love that guy.
Why do you have
Crippler Crossface?
Bro, he was sick in WCW, man.
He was my favorite wrestler for so long.
Yo, actually, you know what?
But I left him off the list because of because of the murder suicide.
Like him, Dean Malenko, those fucking guys were
the Horsemen.
Yeah, but those guys were crazy, man. Ric Flair was dope, man, back in the day.
Oh yeah, Ric Flair was. We didn't even mention Ric Flair. No.
Carlito, the guy who ate the apples all the time. Carlito,
we should
have
been in your face. We should do a top 50 list of. Fucking
wrestling. No, we should do a top. We gotta do top hated.
We gotta do one whole episode.
I'm gonna post my top 50 on the gram,
and maybe we'll put that on there. Get write-ins. We'll do it on the Instagram story. We'll do a poll or whatever. Get people to write in, mention their
I'm
top
post
guys.
My top 50 wrestlers.
Top 50. Yeah, you should, man.
I'm gonna do it, man. I'm gonna do that tonight.
That's a long list.
I'm gonna
50?
Do it. I'm gonna do it.
I can probably get to 20.
No, I'm gonna
maybe.
Do it. I'm gonna do it.
You're gonna have to go back and watch old footage and stuff, man.
20 would be good.
So what other...
I might have to redo my list. I got to put Undertaker on there.
Yeah, like we...
No one walks the ropes like that, man.
I mentioned Undertaker.
I'm going to do it based off of hype and I guess just memorize, like memorying things about him, right?
Like holy shit moments where you're like,
yeah,
oh,
like
holy
you just,
fuck.
This guy was the shit, man.
Yeah.
Just over the top.
Undertaker?
Just wrestlers in general, yeah. Like the most, what's the word that they get, over the most being over. That's what I'm going to do. The guys who are always over I'm going to do, sorry, what was your best theme songs?
Well, I said Hunter had that, like he has the best theme song.
The game?
His is a presentation, but
no,
his
isn't the best.
His is crazy.
His isn't the best. What beats that?
No, his is crazy when you know it's
psychopaths.
Coming because it's such a. The lights are flashing. It's that whole. I think his
it's time to play the game.
You're telling me.
It's definitely one of the best.
You're telling me when that NWO track hits, you're not like.
Oh, sick.
Your mood just changes.
When The Rock hits, though? Or like, yeah. And like The Rock hits.
I used to love.
But musically, lyric wise, and it still had that pop. Like, boom, it hits you. And you know what? Yeah, no.
I used to love. When like in WCW, when Harlem Heat used to come out, that shit was sick, man. And they come out and Harlem calling Heat. Everyone suckers and shit like that. They had the fucking the tape so you can breathe and shit. That was fucking epic, man. That shit was wild. Harlem Heat was dope. Booker T should be on my list, man.
Yeah, he should have been, man. Fuck.
What's your guys' favorite championship belt?
The WCW heavyweight.
WCW heavyweight?
Heavyweight title, yeah.
Is that the one with red on it?
No, it's a little bit of red. It's that big gold one.
Is that just the world heavyweight title?
World heavyweight title.
Yeah, that's my favorite too.
Yeah.
Who was it that took the belt and changed it?
Hogan?
John Cena changed it. Remember that?
Into the spinner?
Oh, okay.
He took the WWE championship and changed it to the spinner, man.
I don't think that was an original idea, though. Someone took, like, that was the first time the belt was changed. There was like a bit of controversy surrounding.
There might
that.
Have been like a secondary belt that was changed.
Yeah,
I don't think
been.
It was like
I
a primary belt
was.
That ever was changed.
You're right. It might have been NWO that did something. Like
they
just, that.
They spray painted NWO on it.
Oh, that was another cool thing, man. Just going around spray painting people. And you're right. Like when that music hit at that time, and when it was a match that none of them were involved in, you're like, oh no. And yeah, you had who was it? Was it Ross that went over to WCW for a while?
Who?
Who was the announcer? Wasn't there or was Mean Gene?
Mean Gene went over.
Or was Mean Gene that went over? And he's just, what are they doing here? They should get him out of the build. And then they just attack someone and spray paint him, man.
What's those
dead
any,
in the
like,
ring?
Working together in that, being like, yo, we're going to do this, and you guys are going to show up here. Because, man, there's got to be some, like, not to ruin it, but there's got to be
watch the documentary,
some,
man.
There's got to be, yeah, I know
are you talking
that.
About with I've, WWE?
With WWF, yeah. There's got
and WCW?
You don't think there's any
no,
type of
those guys,
like,
no. Vince doesn't want anyone tampering in his playground, man.
Believe what you want, man.
What's the best? What's
didn't
the
you hear that he stopped guys from going on? We're getting deep into wrestling, but whatever. that he stopped guys from going on Jericho's podcast. He can't get any WWE talent anymore. So, like, all his friends and stuff that want to come on his podcast, Vince won't clear him.
We can. what's the best?
Way, man, if it wasn't for Vince, you wouldn't even know what the fuck wrestling is.
What's the best match? Not saying, like the gimmick match. Like, what's the best type of match that you just go nuts?
Punjabi prison one.
What?
The Punjabi prison match.
I've never heard of that before.
I don't know what's
going
on.
You've never heard of that?
No.
This guy's being racist, man. This guy's being racist.
Are you joking me?
No, man. What
Dude,
is that?
So, you've never heard of this?
I've never heard of this.
So, they started it in probably like 09.
It's called a Punjabi prison match?
It's called a Punjabi prison match. It's Great Khali's the only one that the person will
the
fight.
Great Khali's.
It's literally a Hell in a Cell. Okay. But instead of a Hell in a Cell, I would say it's double the height of a Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
And it's just basically kendo sticks. Like, it's all wood.
What does that have to do with Punjabi?
I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. Search it up. They've done it in WWE like 3-4 times.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and it's a Punjabi prison match. And it's, yeah, and it, anytime they're fighting, they're basically apparently only fighting Great Khali, so.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so it's actually, you never heard that before?
I've never heard that before.
Wow. I think you're just being racist. Right now.
I know. I thought you were just fucking with me.
But are you talking like match or like type of match?
The
like,
type of match I'm saying.
Yeah. My favorite type of match, I'd say probably Hell in a Cell, but like Hell in a Cell, when you know Hell in a Cell is coming and that cage is suspended up top, that shit hits different, man.
It seems like it's always the Undertaker in that match.
It hits different, man, that Hell in a Cell. Or like a Goldberg or something.
They should do a casket match.
Casket matches.
Those were dope.
They're going to stay away from those for a while now, man. They don't want to traumatize any of these kids anymore, man.
That's Survivor Series, man.
Close the comp. Did they bury it one time, too, man? Like,
dude,
just
Kane came back, buried The Undertaker alive, man. That's Survivor Series, man.
You can't see matches like that anymore, man.
WWE didn't realize how much they fucked up kids, but
Man, just even some of the characters that they used to have, just either, like, so blatantly racist or oh,
Virgil.
Who? Oh my goodness!
What's your favorite type of match?
My favorite type of match is what's the one? Oh well, Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble is my. I like to see that, like the calling out the numbers. Number one comes down. Number two comes down. You know, the briefcase matches are kind of interesting from time to time, just for something different.
Yeah, yeah.
But nah, I like the Royal Rumble. You got to go over the top. Got to go over the top.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I like. Again, I'm a big WCW guy. I liked War Games when they did NWO versus the Four Horsemen. Okay. So War Games is basically like this. It's like this double cage, and it goes one-on-one, and then they flip a coin to see who gets next. So if whoever gets it gets the advantage for like 2 minutes, and then they double team. and then the third guy will be like the heater guy, so he'll come in like all fresh and just fucking do all of his moves and shit. And
so it was basically a handicap match.
Yeah, and then it ends up being like 5-on-5 and shit, right? But it's just dope, though. The best was like Michael Buffer, man, just announcing. And the leader of the NWO against the man who's undefeated, Goldberg. That shit was dope.
Iron Man match was crazy, too, when you know it's going to be 60 minutes.
That's long, man.
I like that, though.
That's a long match.
I like it.
My wrestling attention spans 15 minutes a match. After that, you lost.
You don't appreciate world wrestling entertainment.
No, I don't, man.
Put it that way.
If it's a I don't. If it's a long match, but if it's good, I'm okay with it. But Iron Man, if I know it's going to be long, fuck it, man. I can't do that.
Having this conversation has helped me realize just how much wrestling I had in my life. Like, holy shit, growing up, I played a lot of wrestling video games, watched a shit ton of wrestling.
Which one's your favorite video game?
Oh, it's got to be.
I already know Bees.
N64, man. WCW versus NWO, man. World Tour. Like, that was the game that changed it all. We probably spent 200-300 hours. WCW versus NWO, like, World Tour, N64.
That's with, like, Hulk on the cover, right?
Yeah.
Revenge?
Yeah. Well, then Revenge came, and then you had no. Then they went to WWE games, then they had No Mercy. Like,
I remember playing a couple matches here and there on those. Maybe, like, you know, maybe like four or five hours on each, like playing at like friends' house. I never had those ones, but I played them.
Guy, What was crazy about
I never played the WWE ones. I just played to death the Revenge, man.
You needed to. You could make your own belts. You make your own belts. Then those WWE ones got crazy where you could have a referee. So one of your characters, like I could referee a match between you two and I've got accounted and shit like that.
You could do it faster.
Yeah. Like it got crazy. But we used to play.
Like
there's
you could control as the ref?
Yeah. Well, you're the third character, right?
That's sick, man.
You're the third character. Like it got it crazy. But we had a group of about 12 of us that would go around, right? And you'd play every week. You had like two or three different characters. You had to work your way up this tournament ladder. People were playing for belts. But we just got to the point where the big thing was counters. And for counters, you had to time your button press for when another guy was going for a grapple. Time it. You'd break his grapple. He'd be dazed for a little bit. Then you could grapple him. Oh, it got to the point where all it was is like just broken grapple. Counter, 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 counter. But if one person got a move in, and then it was just like over because they had the timing. And then it was just a matter like there's nothing you could try to do.
Quick count about it.
Like it was insane.
The best is when they try to punch you and like the block is his chest.
Yeah,
fucking
yeah, up. Yeah.
It's like his chest is all he's doing like roundhouse kicks to your face. And shit. Nothing's happening.
Well, your meter starts to fill, right? So you take that slap to the chest. Your meter fills, and then you got the power move. Oh man, I can go deep into this because the problem was we'd always run into like so we went hard. Like I said, we went hard. We'd play these games like we'd fry cartridges. We played this game so much. Break controllers, like just wear it out. But everyone always had like, you know, like that other cousin that you have that's always thinks that they're better at video games than you. Like, oh, I play that all the time with my friends. I can fucking crush you, man. Like, you don't understand. I play this game a lot. Like, I don't have a job. I'm still too young to have a job. I could, like, this is my.
This is literally all I do. So yeah. When you say you're good, like, I'm not joking or anything, but I'm literally 50 times better is basically what you're saying.
Exactly. That's it. And then they're like, no, trust me. Trust me. Go over. Like, that was the thing because I knew how much we played. I was like, okay, I don't really want to play against, like, my little cousins or my older cousins even because I'm like,
holy, this guy.
You're there for, like, a Christmas dinner or whatever. You're like, I don't want to spoil the mood. But then the guy just kept talking shit all night, and then you're like, okay, let's play a match. And then it's like over in 2 minutes, and the guy's like, "How'd you do that? Cheated? Like, doesn't even make any sense. How could you win a match that quick? Play another match. Same thing. Play another match, and now you don't even hold back. Now it's a minute.
Yeah, we're glitching it, man. That's
no, crazy. There's no glitching.
Yeah, but
what
you
it
have
was
time,
is we
you have that grapple timed in. Right?
Well, that's the thing. And it's the same thing I said last week. I don't talk. I'm not out here being like, I could beat everyone in this house, no problem. Give me 20 minutes. I just try to sit to myself, let them play. Like, you know, I don't want in on this.
Why don't you just let them win, man?
I'm not doing that, man. I'm going to give them that work, man. That game brings a smile to my face every time I think about it.
I think we should have a tournament, man.
If I could get a 64.
I have an 64.
Fuck you, you
do. Dude, I have two controllers, chilling. It's actually my sister has it in a room in a fucking garbage bag.
You bring that shit over next time. Bring it to the studio.
We'll go get a third.
I got
controller.
Some good games too, man. I got GoldenEye.
I don't want anything else besides wrestling, man. I'll go out and buy wrestling right now.
I got a couple, man.
One of those old vintage games.
We'll go get a controller.
Sick.
I gotta figure out where we can get a couple controls from. But fuck, are you serious? Have a line on. Oh yeah, we need another two, man. You need to have the full squad on there.
Who's gonna be the fourth one?
The doc.
I think we know a fourth, man.
Are you serious? You got a line out of 64?
Yeah, dude. I have it at my house.
Classic childhood memories. What about childhood snacks or food that you guys had growing up? You guys remember ever having anything?
Listen, man.
Something that you missed from the past?
I went to school. My mom made me the same shit from grade 1 all the way to grade 6, man.
Serious?
Pizza Pops.
Nope.
I know you're munching those pizza pops.
Nope. Right? Nope. It was sandwich. Salami and fucking butter in it, and I got either apple drink or grape drink.
Nice apple drink, fuck.
Not even juice, apple drink, grape drink. Once in a while, I'll get a PC cola, but
once in a no, PC once in a cola. While, you right after gym, you go right to slurp that fucking grape drink up. Lunchtime, you got shit to drink.
Yeah, I tore it up in gym class. Then I had better shit to do, man.
Man.
What about you guys?
I just remember they had these little candies, and they still have them now. But they had these little candies that you could only get back in the day from like this one store. It was about 10 or 15 minute bike ride from our house. Little sour candies, mega warheads. So they had different. Well, back then they either had lemon.
You can get Warheads anywhere.
Well, now you can, yeah. But they had lemon.
The owner must have just told you you can only get it here, man. Yeah.
You had lemon or you had apple. And these things were just.
Sour?
Just, oh, yeah. Just covered in like sour powder. They just made you like pucker up. And my claim to fame was like I could take like 3 or 4 of them in my mouth at once.
My claim to fame.
Yeah, man. I had friends be like,
respect him now. People got to respect him now.
I had people like a buddy of mine, like I didn't know what they were at first. He gave me a bunch. He's like, can you see how much more you can take? So I had one. It's like, take another one. And then it hit me on the fifth one. He's like, whoa, man, you got 5 in there. That's crazy. We got to go to my buddy Nick's house. I'm going to go, sure, we're biking around. We go there. And he's like, watch this. He's like, take it. And Nick's like, whoa, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know, man, just having some candy. They're sour, but they're good.
You can do it right now?
Right now?
Next episode.
We'll try next episode. Okay. See how many you can get. It. You guys are going to do it too, though. That's the thing. No. You got to do it along.
No,
man. But I've grown up. I love sour things since now. So I don't know if that was because of that or part of it. Like sour soothers. You guys remember sour soothers?
Yeah. So what happened with the 180? Like, why is it just straight sugar now?
Oh, I like a nice sour thing too. Whiskey sours. I'll drink a whiskey sour. Especially if you got a nice little sugar rim there and a drop of Mary's Cherry in there.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You just added 80 grams of sugar without even lifting your finger, man.
That's why I drink presses otherwise. I'll have a few cocktails and then I'll move it over to a nice little press. A little vodka water.
No, you won't.
What about you, B?
No, you won't.
What did you like 2 years ago?
I like to keep it simple, man.
When you were still in high school, you got all kinds of things.
Man,
right?
You open that lunchbox. I remember I used to have that the Tigger lunchbox, man. All
I had a Ninja Turtles lunchbox.
All orange Tigger lunchbox. It was fire.
all orange Tigger.
I'd open it up, and Turtles. My favorite to see was...
That's a lie right there.
I like Dunkaroos, man.
Like which one, the chocolate?
I like the chocolate more, nasty. But I did like the sprinkles too.
Yeah, the vanilla
and
sprinkles.
The best cookie in there was the round one with the D on it.
Yeah, you like the D, don't you?
Those are the best, man. They taste so good, and I like those. I also liked Fruit by the Foot.
Oh, yeah.
Fruit by the Foot, and I actually liked Fruit Gushers too. Fruit Gushers are, you can't go wrong with Fruit Gushers.
Yeah, man. I remember when those came out.
You know what I was thinking? Like, since I was talking about Coke here.
And throws a bear paws in there.
I think you say Parley G.
Those came out like a couple years ago, man.
I think you say Parley G.
Those banana bear paws in there. Game over.
I was thinking, when I was talking about Coke here, imagine work. Like, there's, I think the Coke industry.
Wait, are we talking like?
Like Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Like it's a soft drink. Like if you're working for like RC Cola or something, like there's no way you're going to be the best fucking Coke brand.
You settle for number 3, man.
You think that's number 3? RC Cola?
So you got Pepsi, Coke.
Yeah.
Like number 10.
And then what? What's that? Okay, so what's number
fucking
3
President's
then?
President's Choice.
PC.
So you're
fucking no name.
There's no PC in like, so we're talking North America. You're talking strictly Canada.
Let's talk North America.
North America. So now you're starting to get into the States, and you're talking about a private label cola brand that's going to be bigger than RC?
RC's that big? I don't know how they're
but
getting mentioned.
RC's got the Caribbean. Yeah. I know there's RC in the Caribbean.
They used to have that 25-cent vending machine at IGA back in the day.
Yeah. Used to kill it.
Yeah, they used to kill it. I don't know why we're mentioning
private label would be even less than them, though.
But I mean, like, as a company like that, you're just like, you know, one day we're gonna be the best, man. It's like, no, there's no way you're gonna be.
No, but they're settled. They're comfortable. I think you have to go
would
in that.
But what I'm saying is, would you be motivated to work for a company like that?
No, but what I'm saying is, you have to go in with a mindset of, yo,
market
we make
share.
Tons of money being number 3 or number 7,
you
whatever
think they
are.
Tons of money.
Oh
yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
To still be in the
25
game.
25 cents a fucking vending machine.
Well, what does it cost to put out a bunch of syrup, right? Like, it's probably like, what they say, fountain drinks really cost like 3 pennies or something for your drink. So, I mean, if they're putting it out for 25 cents, they're still making a profit. At least a nice solid 25 or 20 cent profit right
there.
That's
why they're in third.
So, Nick, we taking your favorites RC Cola?
PC. PC Cola, man.
Safeway Select.
Nope. PC Cola, that shit is implanted in my brain for the rest of my life, man. Everyone had Pepsi, Coca-Cola, other fucking Mountain Dew and shit. Not me, man. PC Cola. And it tasted, I felt like it just tasted better at one point in my life.
Yeah, you convinced yourself of that because it was, because it's so readily available to you.
Yeah, man. But it's crazy. It's crazy.
What was your guys' favorite stores to go into when you were kids? Like, if you went, like, you know, grocery shopping or...
Like the aisle?
Aisle or, like, what store did you like go to? Like, you know, Toys R Us or Superstore?
So, for
like,
me, every Saturday, I always had to go grocery shopping with my mom.
Yeah.
The first thing I do is I go get the cart for her, right? Then we'll go. And then we just separate. I go to the magazine section. You read a few magazines.
There you go.
You read a few magazines. And then after that, you go to the fucking video game electronics section, right?
It's like stops. It's like a carnival. Like, you got to go do all, like, the activities, right?
Yeah. And then, like, an hour is gone by that time, right? So then you got to find your mom. Normally, knowing my mom, I just knew what sections she always goes to, right? Yeah. Start from the beginning and then, you know, work your sections. I know there's some aisles she always skipped.
You turn to the left, some guy skates by on his skates.
Yeah, there's some guy in rollerblades.
Yeah, that was a different time, man.
It was great times. And, you know, you just go once in a while, you kind of scope the aisles out, grab some stuff. Don't even look at the fucking price.
Yeah, and you pull up to your mom with it. You're just like, this is what I want.
You pull it, you just kind of throw it in there and she just looks at you like, fuck you.
No, you turn around and put it back up.
For me, honestly, it seems like you just painted the picture of my whole life. That's basically, I would go, my cousins and I would go hard in those WWE magazines. Like, we'd go,
I used to go looking through PlayStation magazines.
Right? Sometimes you got that Divas. Sometimes you got that Divas edition, man.
So, I forgot how young this guy was. There's no fucking Divas.
You're
good to go, man.
No Divas back in the day.
Take a look at the Divas section.
Out at Superstore.
You know, take a look at the Divas section.
6 months ago.
And you got to get back. And you got to get to business, right? Switch.
Sounds like you were getting to business.
Swap to the proper article. Give that a read, right? So you know what's going on for next Raw or next SmackDown, whatever's going on. Posters in there? My cousin used to fucking snatch those posters sometimes too, man. It was bad. But anyway, after that, you go check out the games quick, right?
Are magazines still
popular? Games are tough. What was that?
Are magazines still popular?
Can't imagine how.
I would say they still
electronic.
I haven't seen anyone with like a new magazine in their house.
No, they still do, man. I think they still.
Who's buying them?
Well, the people that are buying them, it's all niche now, right? It's not a widespread thing. Like, if I'm going to subscribe to something, it's something.
Yeah, but if I want to look at Fangoria, then I'll just go to Fangoria.com.
I guess so. But anyway, yeah.
Continue.
I just grab what I want, basically meet my mom just like you did. But the worst betrayal was when you put what you want in the cart and you think you're good to go. So you're good. You walk to the end. You press the conveyor belt. Because you want to help, right? Give a nice quick help. Next time, you'll get what you want too, right? You start helping on the cart, and you start noticing, like, you start noticing the thing that you put in there is not there, right? And then your mom will be like, don't worry, it's in there, I saw her put it. And then you'll get in the car, and then you're looking. Like, you always kind of quickly look, because you want to open it while you're going, right? you want to take a quick look at, like, the toy or whatever you're getting, right? And you get home and you go through everything, and she just tells you, I told her to fucking put it away, right? That was the worst type of betrayal. So,
hey, at least your mom had the decency to lie to you. It was just a straight, what do you think you're doing back in the day, man?
So what do they do in Barbados?
Just thump, thump, right on your head, man. You just turn around.
So how about you? What any store you like to frequent or go or anything?
What did they do in the 1920s? How many coins was it?
If you could ever find yourself a nickel, you could get yourself a steak dinner.
How many gold coins was it for
pixie sticks?
How many gold coins was it for bread?
Bronze, man. You don't even need a gold piece for that. A gold piece gets your whole house.
Here's an exclusive interview on Thirst World Problems.
This is Thirst World Problems, and today we've got a special guest with us. We've got Terry Donnelly joining us on the show, and we're going to be talking about a lot of interesting things. But before we do, we're going to hit you with a hard-hitting question right off the bat. Terry, pretzels or chips?
Oh, pretzels.
There we go.
Pretzels. Rolled gold, but, you know, there's really nothing better than that soft, warm pretzel from the stand on near Central Park in New York with the hot mustard.
Terry, we're going to get along just well. Nice.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how you're the chairman and chief executive officer of the Hill Street Beverage Company. How did that start? How did you start this, and how did it become what it is today?
I didn't start it. I ended up being asked to take over a company that was called Mad Virgin Drinks. And so Mad Virgin Drinks was a business that it was a separate entity, but it made a private label set of non-alcoholic wine and beer for mothers against drunk driving.
Oh, okay.
So the idea was that the designated driver would fit in more at the party if they had wine and beer that had no alcohol. And by using the Mad name, people would know that that's the drink to buy for the designated driver, and they would fit in with the party with everybody else. Logically, it makes a ton of sense, but people don't buy anything logically. They buy them emotionally. We buy stuff emotionally. And so nobody wants to buy a bottle of champagne that has the emotional triggers of grieving widows and dead teenagers. Right? Like that.
Makes sense.
Kind of that's an interesting marketing point right there, actually.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of the opposite feeling that you want to create when you crack open a bottle of champagne or even a beer. So the products were custom built to be fabulous tasting alternatives to alcohol. And then they were given this brand name that just wasn't resonating. So they brought me in to say, like, why is our product not selling when brands like Budweiser Prohibition and Beck's and et cetera, are all like flying off the shelves and growing at double digits. I came in and spent some time consulting with the company and kind of really dug into what the opportunity was. And I knew a bit about the category because I'd worked on the launch of Budweiser Prohibition in my prior job, which is how I got this consulting gig. Ultimately, when we presented the plan and the strategy to the shareholders of the company, they bought it, and the plan was to reinvent the company as a cannabis company and to kind of manage a transition from the original Mad branding to a new independent brand, so a created brand that's designed to work in the cannabis world. So that was the Hill Street transformation. Hill Street, you know, is conveniently a street that is in probably every town in the Western Hemisphere.
Wow. Right? So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of thought that goes into this, it seems like. So one question, yeah, I think a lot of people will want us to ask is why. So with the cannabis movement, obviously we know that, you know, once it's allowed in terms of having it in drinks and edibles and whatnot, that's kind of going to be really when the market opens up. But it seems like you guys are ready and poised when those floodgates do open. So one question, yeah, I had was, is there any personal connection you have to the reason that it's a cannabis drink, or is it strictly business?
Are you asking me if I smoke pot?
Well, no. I'm sure you smoke pot.
I was a musician for 7 years. During musician, I would wake up every morning and smoke some black hash, and then start my day.
Yeah, the crazy you thing know? Is, I was already assuming that. Pretty heavy.
Yeah. So, I played in a reggae band at one time, right? So,
A reggae band. What was the name of the reggae band?
It was called the Hit Squad. The Hit Squad, and the singer was a guy named Frank Carroll, who was the rhythm guitar player for the Wailers, and then he became the lead guitar player for Eddie Grant.
Oh wow!
And then he married a Canadian gal, and ended up in Vancouver, and I ended up as his keyboard player. So,
nice.
Yeah,
So anyway.
And we used to smoke a ton of weed, like a ton of weed. So, you know, I think it's fair to say that I've had a lifelong relationship with the plant. How's that?
That's why you guys were called the Hit Squad.
Yeah. And we knew that, like, we knew at the time that the government would never allow the mixing of intoxicants, right? Like, you can't have Red Bull and vodka.
Yeah.
You can't put, you know, energy drinks and alcohol together. Those have been banned. And so that's we knew that was going to happen. There were times when we weren't for sure that it was going to happen, but it was the main premise of our strategy. And so we had this great tasting alternative to wine and beer. And all we had to do was figure out how do we get the cannabis in the beer. Mm. And so we found this biotech company out of Kelowna, and they've got over 60 patents on this process that turns, you know, that raw, stinky cannabis oil, the first, what I call the first cold pressing of cannabis, right? So it's like the first rough extract. So they can actually turn that into an odorless and tasteless powder, which allows you to have, without turning it into an isolate or a distillate, so it allows you to have what's called the entourage effect. So it's a full spectrum plant extract that is rendered into this powder. The powder is water soluble. And so the cool thing about it is it's fast acting. You know, you start to feel the effect within a couple of minutes. You get the full onset within 15 minutes. Lasts about 90 minutes from an intoxication standpoint. And then the THC is basically out of your bloodstream in about 3.5-4 hours.
Okay.
So it really, really mimics the effect of alcohol.
So within 15 minutes,
there's a whole bunch of benefits. Like, yeah, you feel it. Like, full onset within 15 minutes.
Wow, that's a lot. So that's very different than edibles and stuff you make or stuff you buy at dispensaries in other countries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's because those you don't know, they could be 30 minutes, 45. You eat another one.
Could be 2 hours.
You eat another half, and then that's when people have those bad reactions and bad. That was one of my main things is how are you guys thinking to control the dosage because people are going to react so differently. But if it's that quick.
Well, it's actually one of the things that Health Canada really got right is they said no more than 10 milligrams per unit. And so we actually view a unit like a bottle of wine. So a unit would be, you know, 4 beer, right?
Okay.
So that's like a session. Like you can sit down and have 3 or 4 beers, get a really nice buzz on, and then it wears off after like 90 minutes. So you can like chill out for a couple hours and then drive home.
So if I just have a glass or two, am I going to feel anything?
Yeah, you'll feel, like I tell people the feeling, and we've done focus groups with a whole variety of people in different sizes and shapes. And the feeling is kind of like, you know, if you had a glass of wine or two.
Okay.
Right? Like, if you have a glass of wine, you're not drunk, right?
Fair enough.
You're probably not really even intoxicated. You might feel a little bit more relaxed, right? And so that's really what we're trying to recreate is we're trying to give you the same experience you would have with what we've been drinking for the last 10,000 years, right? So you know, we're all used to how drunk we get off a bottle of beer or a glass of wine. And then how many of those that we can consume in the course of an evening and remain in full control of our faculties or where the edge is, you know, where that line is from partying to getting sick. Now, the nice thing about cannabis beverages, you'll never get sick. You'll never pass out. You'll never really overconsume because in order for you to consume enough cannabis to get to that level of what they call greening out, you'd probably have to drink somewhere between 5 and 10 bottles of wine within 15 minutes. Like you have to do that all within 15 minutes in order to get enough THC in your system all at one time to cause that effect you get from eating too many gum.
Okay.
Right. How much THC is in it? Is in these bottles?
Well, we're like a bottle of wine has 10 milligrams.
Yeah.
and then a 355 ml can of beer. And so the short cans have 2 milligrams.
See, that's really low. And I actually really like that you guys are starting that low, because that's, if you're, just to put into perspective, you know, like a brownie or a cookie or something like that, you're talking 25, 30, 35. And
well, let's talk about that for a sec, because while it has 25 or 30, your liver is actually expelling 90% of that THC. So you think you ingested 35 milligrams, but you really only ingested into your bloodstream 3.5 milligrams.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
With our technology, there's 97% bioabsorption. Right? So you're actually absorbing into your bloodstream 97% of the THC in a 2 milligram beer, which feels like you took a 20 milligram gummy.
So you're saying that that's because of the technology from this Kelowna-based company, that the bloodstream absorbs it so quickly, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it bypasses the liver. It's absorbed through the lymphatic system.
Okay.
And so that's why it has the rapid onset, and why it's so efficient in allowing the THC to get into your bloodstream almost entirely.
So, Terry, I guess the question...
So it's a game changer.
Well, yeah, that's... there's going to be a lot of happy people about that. Now, I guess just to play...
I hope so.
I guess just to play devil's advocate, if you guys were doing so well with the non-alcoholic versions of the wines and the beers, why move into THC at all and CBD?
Oh, well, like, non-alcoholic wine and beer is an afterthought in the beer industry, right? Like, it's 0.5% market share. In North America right now, I think it's about 0.9% market share. So in Canada, the entire non-alcoholic beer and wine industry is maybe all in $100 million. Okay. All in. So if I did 0.5% market share in the beer industry, I'd be a $65 million company. And, you know, we're aiming to be a significant player in the cannabis beverage sector. And, you know, Molson announced that they think the Canadian cannabis beverage industry will be, you know, $3 billion.
Wow. Right?
I really think that this might change people's perspective of just, you know, kind of going out or just in general actually drinking alcohol. I think this might transition to be something better. From what I've been told, it's like late October, November that they're thinking about releasing something like this, right?
Well, I mean, so the products become legal on October 17th.
Okay.
So that means you can start making them on that day. And that's for commercial purposes, right? You can do research up until then. But so we'll say October 17th, you can start legally manufacturing edible products. Then you got to send it to Health Canada. So December 17th is the earliest you'll actually see, because Health Canada has a 60-day period whereby they approve your products for sale.
They're going to have a lot
and
of
they,
work.
And they don't approve. They don't approve each individual product. Like, they approve kind of the category. So I send them a bottle of wine, give them a sample, and then they approve the fact that I can sell cannabis infused wine. So my whole product lineup, by giving them one, will be approved, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got to do the usual QA and random testing and lab tests and all that stuff. But we're probably going to be producing beverages for next summer.
Wow.
Right? Like, we won't be there right on December 16th. You know, we have too much work to do just in getting the facility built and constructed. But we'll be selling cannabis. So we have our own cannabis cultivation facility. So we'll be selling cannabis first, and pre-rolls and you know, maybe some drink mixes, because, you know, there's some things that we're going to plan to do, mixers and things like that. And then we'll start selling, like, our rosé and our beer and our sparkling wines, and all those things for next summer. So hopefully you guys will spend all next summer drinking my rosé on the beach and quaffing our beer instead of drinking beer with alcohol. And it's like when you look at the comparison and you just say, okay, I could choose a beer with alcohol or I could choose a beer with cannabis. And the beer with alcohol, I could have a hangover. It's 150 calories, 180 calories. You know, beer is, alcohol is cancerous, gives you kidney disease, gives you liver disease, gives you arthritis and gout, causes multiple sclerosis, causes Alzheimer's, causes Parkinson's. Like there's a direct link between alcohol consumption and 5% of all deaths in the world.
Wow. Wow. Terry, don't tell me all this bad news until your product's out and I've got an alternative.
Yeah, so then you have cannabis, and it's like crazy because all those diseases that I just mentioned that alcohol causes, well, cannabis is likely a therapy or even a treatment for all of those conditions, right? Like it's kind of like everything that's bad about alcohol, cannabis is the opposite of. There's no hangover. There's no calories. Like the beer that we make, we have one beer, it's 50, 60 calories. We have another one that's about 70, 80 calories. We have a couple more coming in that are 35, 40 calories. Our wines are an average of 25 calories a serving, whereas a typical wine is, you know, 125.
So
calories, 125, 150 calories a serving. You know, you kind of do the math between the two and you go, why the hell would I ever drink alcohol again?
Well, it's healthier in every way so far is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I know. And no hangovers. Like you can get completely shit-faced and then the next morning you wake up and you're like, boom, ready to go, 6 a.m.
I think what Terry's trying to say
is... And you probably slept like a baby, right? Because cannabis helps you sleep.
I think what Terry's trying to say is drink as much alcohol as you can now. Because next year,
we're gonna be
recovering our bodies with his drinks in the summer.
Yeah, because cannabis, like you know, as I used to just smoke it just to get high. I didn't really study it. I couldn't. You know, I really could care less as long as I got high. But then when you start running a business like ours, you actually study it and you kind of figure out what the hell is behind this thing and what's possible, what can it do, et cetera. And it's like you know, cannabis really is interesting because it basically, you know. Cannabidiol, which is the CBD that everybody's talking about, it kind of really does one thing. Even though it's a treatment or therapy for all these different conditions, it really, as far as I can tell, kind of just does one thing. And the one thing that it does in its non-intoxicating form is it moves your body, makes your body want to move towards this condition called homeostasis, which is the optimal functioning of all of your bodily systems. Right? That's what scientists call homeostasis. So when you have your own internal endocannabinoid system, and when you add the plant-based cannabinoids to your internal one, it kind of gives your body a kickstart to work towards homeostasis, because that's what the endocannabinoid system regulates.
So you're talking about like receptors in that case, right? That humans have natural receptors for that?
Exactly, right? And those receptors are basically receiving instructions through your endocannabinoid system that regulates the optimal functioning of your body. And so when your body isn't functioning optimally, it's because you have some kind of deficiency in your endocannabinoid system, right? And so when you take the plant-based cannabinoids, phytocannabinoids, it kind of amplifies and accelerates and improves the function of your endocannabinoid system. And then your body works its way towards homeostasis, and you read all these reports about people that, you know, their epilepsy seizures stop. They've eliminated tumors. They eliminate, you know, they stop shaking from Parkinson's, like all these things, you know, that happen. And it's basically, you know, so how can cannabis do all of this? Well, it doesn't do any of those things. It does the one thing, which is drive your body towards homeostasis, and then your body takes care of the rest.
Okay, so you're charging $1,000 a bottle for one of these things, right?
You know, it's $20.
Oh, there we go.
No, we're really gonna try to compete with alcohol.
Nice, I like that.
Right, like you know, like in the States, you know, people say cannabis beverages are only like 1% market share. It's not really going to be a big thing. Well, it's like, have you ever been to a dispensary in Las Vegas and tried to buy a beer? It's $9 to $15 for a beer in a retail store. Who the hell wants to buy a case of that and take it home on a Friday night?
Very true.
Right? Like, nobody wants to do that. You know, nobody can afford to. Right? And so we're trying to engineer our whole strategy so we compete with your favorite beer or your favorite bottle of wine.
Terry, these guys have been hounding me all day to ask the simple question, and here it is. When your product comes out, is there any chance we could work on a collab, maybe some sort of sangria, CBD infused, with some THC in it, something along those lines?
Sure.
Look at that, you guys. See?
Love sangria.
Love it too. So,
like, yeah. I mean, we actually, with and so I know we sent you guys some samples, right?
Yeah, we're actually drinking,
them right now.
It's delicious.
Awesome. What do you think?
I love it.
Oh, yeah. So the cool thing is, and so what you're drinking is exactly what the cannabis product is going to taste like.
Really? So there's not going to be that little aftertaste.
Indistinguishable.
Wow. No,
indistinguishable. And this is part of this technology that we have. So you know how much cannabis actually goes into an entire bottle of wine?
How much?
So 10 milligrams of cannabis, it's the equivalent of about half a grain of salt, a table salt.
Wow.
So in liquid form, it's 250 microliters, which is a quarter of a milliliter, goes into a 750 ml bottle. So when you look at, and we've done our tests with our Sauvignon Blanc, because it's our lightest, clearest, most pale varietal of wine. And you put the solution in the one bottle and then you compare them, right? And then you do all the taste tests and look, taste, mouthfeel, et cetera, absolutely indistinguishable. No one was able to tell it.
That's impressive. Right now we're sipping on the rosé, so I can only imagine that
you're going to be drinking that all summer.
The rosé is delicious. What other flavors will be coming out? Or is that going to be too soon?
We currently, I think we have like 17, 18 varietals of wine that we're developing. I know we've got 5 varietals of wine that are on the market right now. But we have wines that were coming in from South Africa, from Australia, Argentina, from Spain, Italy. The wines we're drinking now are French wines. So we buy our wine. The wine you're drinking, we actually buy finished. We import it from Belgium.
What do you guys usually prefer?
Cannabis wine. For what?
What do you guys usually prefer? Like, which country do you guys?
Oh, I love wine. Like, I'm a total wino. I have actually a cellar in my basement. I probably have 400 bottles of wine in the cellar.
Nice.
So when I say all those negative things about alcohol, it's like, you know, I'm not some evangelical anti-alcohol person, right? Mm. I spent my whole life working in around the alcohol business. I just actually, you know, owning up to the facts. these are just the facts, right? It's like, you just got to call it like you see it. I'm a huge believer in this new product, which I think is hugely disruptive for alcohol. When you make the argument one versus another, who the hell's going to pick alcohol over this?
Like, do you think a lot of people, sorry to interrupt there, do you think a lot of people are presented or know the facts, but for some reason refuse to believe it? Or do you think there's a reason that some people do that?
Oh, yeah, I've had those conversations, absolutely, with people that are like giants in the Canadian wine industry. No names mentioned. But you literally, you say, okay, we're going to be doing this. They're like, well, why are you doing this in wine? Why don't you do something else? And I'm like, well, because, you know, beer is the most popular product and wine is the second most, those are the two most popular intoxicants on the planet. Right. So why would I go for a cocktail, which is 5% of the alcohol industry? And I really don't think I can make a spirit. I know I probably could make a spirit, but I think a non-alcoholic spirit is a much tougher hill to climb than a non-alcoholic wine or beer. So why would I make my life harder when I can make beer and wine? And why wouldn't I make cannabis wine that's as delicious and as delectable as your favorite wine? And they're like, well, because it doesn't have alcohol, so it's not wine. And I'm like, well, fine. It's a new thing. And it's made like wine, only without alcohol, and has cannabis in it. So it's a new thing that we're making. It's a new category, and it's better than wine. It's more delicious, and it has all these great benefits that wine causes all these problems. And then they get into this whole state of denial about all the problems wine causes. And so you just say, okay, you keep making wine, and I'll go do this.
You should ask that person, like, next year, that same conversation, and see if it's the same answer when you're
next year Christmas.
Yeah, around Christmas, and see what happens. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it'll be an interesting. Like, it's really cool because, like, there's never going to be another thing that we legalize that's been prohibited.
That's a huge point right there that you just said, because there is, like, any other drug is. It was hard enough for this to, the U.S. still thinks that cannabis is on the same schedule as cocaine.
Heroin. So, and the thing is, but like, if we look into heroin or cocaine, like, what benefits can it provide?
Nothing. Right?
That give it some redeeming feature that would allow us to legalize it. Like with cannabis, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has registered over 50,000 new products made from cannabis in the last 5 years.
That's impressive.
Like everything from, have you ever heard of hempcrete?
Yep,
sure have.
It's an alternative to concrete. It makes a better road surfacing material. We're driving on this stuff. We're smoking the good part, and then we're driving on the rest of it.
Well, they're starting to build houses with the hempcrete now, too, so you're also living in it.
Exactly, right? It's like everything in the world that's made from plastic can be made from hemp.
That's remarkable.
I think you just converted three of us here into...
I was already converted.
But it's like, so we're at the advent of this whole new... industry. Like, at 150 years ago, hemp was the world's most valuable crop. And it basically got criminalized by, and it's the only way to say it, by racists.
That's it right there.
Like,
amen, brother.
The number one factor in cannabis becoming illegal was racism. And it's a shameful part of our history, but it's true, and you know, try to do everything we can to fix that problem, but the problem's still not being fixed. There's still a huge social justice issue with all the people that were convicted and are not being given an opportunity to come into the legal industry. So we're going to try and do what we can. We actually formed a relationship with a professor from York University, who's one of the leading sociologists on this issue of, you know, redeeming those who've been wrongfully convicted because of cannabis, because they're almost, you know, it's like a 10-to-1 ratio of per the color versus white people, and so once you have a conviction, it's like your life goes a different direction. So we're trying to get these folks full pardons and have their records expunged, and then find ways to actually employ them.
Wow!
And so we're actually working with them that we could hopefully hire them as brand reps and distributors. And if we can get the government to kind of allow us to expand our distribution beyond dispensaries and into bars and restaurants, then I would have a reason to hire people to go to bars and restaurants and educate people about our products and then sell them in and hopefully get the bars to listen. So I think that would be a great way to gainfully employ people who've been, downtrodden by our system of illegal cannabis.
Well,
I think that'd be a great idea.
Well, awesome way to turn it around, right, from their past experience. Yeah. How did this connection come about with the professor?
I saw the guy speak at a TED Talk. And after the TED Talk, I went up to him and introduced myself and said, you know, man, I had no idea, but now I know, and now I can't not do something about it. So what can I do, and how can we help? And is there a relationship we can form? Knowing this isn't going to happen overnight, but can we start a relationship and start getting you to be an advisor to us to help us navigate this path whereby maybe we could make this happen and we could make a difference with people. And so we kind of came up with this idea with him around, you know, leveraging those people who have records, and he has a whole conduit and a path into that community of people, you know, way to find them. And then we can hopefully, when we get up and running and start to even sell these products, and the government hopefully will allow them to be in bars and restaurants, then we can literally build a whole distribution platform of young entrepreneurs, you know, that we can give them like territory, you know, like have a franchise for a neighborhood and let them merchandise our products into a neighborhood, like a little mini distributor,
mm-hmm.
right?
What an awesome idea. And
I think it'd be more effective for us, and we'd bypass having to work with those big multinational behemoth American-owned beverage alcohol distribution companies, because they're all, you know, behemoths out of the U.S. that control the industry. You know, if we can bypass all of that and create a local homegrown Canadian solution of people that need an opportunity in life to turn their life around and become gainfully employed and contribute instead of be a drain on the system, I think that'd be fantastic. And it's another thing we do. Like, we created this, the Hill Street Foundation, and it goes back to the relationship with MAD, right? Where a percentage of every bottle and can we sold supported Mothers Against Drunk Driving. But when we ended the MAD relationship, we took that same idea and applied it to our Hill Street products. And so we have relationships with medical health institutes where they're researching causes, cures and treatments for conditions that are caused by alcohol, and where cannabis is a therapy or treatment. So the Hill Street Foundation is already, you know, we're up around $1.8 million that's been donated so far. And, you know, it's, you know, we just finished the Plaid for Dad campaign with the Prostate Cancer Foundation, and we're launching the Prostate Cancer Barbecue Challenge, where you raise money to hopefully get a celebrity, and you'll be on the Food Network. And doing a barbecue challenge with the celebrity chef, all through raising money for prostate cancer. You know, because prostate cancer has got a direct link to alcohol. It's prostate cancer is caused by alcohol. So it's another one. And we hope, you know, I've told the CEO of the Prostate Cancer Foundation that I hope one day we're the biggest single donor to prostate cancer research. So, and we have the same with arthritis and the MS Society and, March of Dimes, which is PTSD, like, you know, look at the number of people who have PTSD who use cannabis as a treatment. It's really the only way they can manage their post-traumatic stress disorder. So we have marketing partnerships with all these groups to help educate people to don't drink alcohol and drink this instead. And then we'll make a donation back to those organizations every year.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems Podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.